CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with you today. And I just want to extend an additional thank you to Tyler Young for coming on the show last segment. We were talking about dating, online dating, and have you found Mr. or Mrs. Right? And I do appreciate that he came on the show. This segment, we have Shamana Keeler, Christina Pratt, and we're going to talk about following your heart. And right now, we're going to go right back to CJ.
Hi, everyone. This is CJ Liu, and I have Christina Pratt, and we're talking about follow your heart. Now, following your heart. Now, I spent probably the vast majority of my time in life working in corporations, kind of going through the motions of going through the rat race, and I can tell you I was not really following my heart. I was following my mind. And I've probably spent a good 40 years of my life following my mind, not even knowing the distinction between what it meant to follow your mind versus follow your heart. So it was always kind of mysterious to me when people said, follow your heart. I'm like, what does that mean? And today we have Christina Pratt, who is a shamanic healer, and she's been, over the last 20 years, developing a body of work to bring practical life skills to people. And I wanted her to tell us, how do we practically follow our heart? So welcome, Christina.
Good morning, or afternoon, actually. CJ, thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, so what does it mean? What does it mean to follow your heart? What does it mean to you as a shamanic healer?
Well, I think the important thing for Westerners when we talk about this is we tend to polarize energies. It's either I follow my mind or I follow my heart, and it leads to a sort of a chaotic life. It's kind of like what most of us do in our 20s.
Uh-huh.
Pretty spastic, right?
Yes.
And I think we need to have a more Taoistic understanding, which is that both the mind and the heart need to contribute to our decisions. And they need to contribute equally. We need to pay attention equally to both, I guess I would say. And what happens to a lot of people raised in America is that we're well into our 20s or 30s or 40s before we realize we have absolutely no idea what our heart really wants to do at all.
It's so true.
It's because we haven't listened.
Yeah.
And I don't know, when people don't listen to me, I go away and talk to someone who wants to talk to me, you know. And so part of it is our heart's a little grumpy with us and doesn't really want to talk to us.
You're like, you've been ignoring me for the last 40 years, and now you want to talk to me? Seriously.
And now you want me to solve all your problems?
Yeah.
Now you want me to fix your life? You haven't been listening for years. And so I think, you know, one of the first things to think about is, you know, you have to court your heart back into relationship with you so you can actually have a conversation. And you know, and once you do, the thing is not to think about it as an either-or situation, but that the information the heart has to offer needs to just be contributed into the conversation you're having internally about what to do in your life.
Okay, so let's break this down. So first, how do you court your heart? What does it look like? Do you go on a date? What does it look like?
On a date, it's already too late. No. I was actually just got back from teaching, and there was this wonderful young woman there in the class whose mother is Malay, and there's a Malay saying that I can't actually say in Malay. But anyway, the translation is, tap your heart 3 times and ask what it wants. And so the idea is, you know, our mind has constantly got this story running. You know, true or false, it's got a story running. And we actually have to choose to stop paying attention to that for a moment. And I just like the saying, because just the idea of, you know, tap your heart 3 times, you know, hello, what would you like to say? You know, what would you like to contribute?
And so we have to do it on purpose. So when we tap our heart 3 times, we hear something. And how do we know that it's our heart talking versus our mind talking?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting and sort of complex thing because, honestly, in the beginning, we don't. That's really kind of the problem. And so back to the courting the heart, which is a bigger question. And I think one of the things that we don't realize as Americans is that the morning, right when we wake, is a very potent time. And many of us wake up grumpy and we just want coffee and we sort of skip over this moment that we're coming out of sleep and we're coming out of dreams and we're actually coming out of, if we've been sleeping well, a nighttime conversation with our heart and soul.
Mm.
And so that is the most potent time. And I mean like 5 minutes. Five minutes to just lie there and just before you're totally running into what needs to go on in your day, just stop and breathe and focus your energy, your awareness, your consciousness in your actual physical heart. And just imagine yourself, you know, like a little mini-me, in your heart. And ask the heart to emerge as someone you can talk to. And let your imagination, which has just come out of the dream anyway, so you've been imagining things all night long, allow that potency to become this ongoing conversation in the heart that begins with this little starting every morning when you're already almost there. You're just coming out of that time. And mm-hmm. just check in. How are you feeling today? What might you want to do today?
Interesting.
It's a very important time.
Yeah, I like the idea of doing it in the morning when you're already kind of in a hypnotic state. You're not really thinking quite clearly, so your mind hasn't, like, turned on.
Right, you know, you're warm, you're cozy, it's intimate, it's sweet, yeah.
Yeah, so when you wake up in the morning, then, is it this when you have a conversation with your heart? And what does the conversation sound like? If we were to have a dialogue and we were to, like, listen to the dialogue between yourself and your heart, what does it sound like? What questions do you ask?
Well, I was actually thinking about this kind of two ways, because when I was single, I actually committed a lot of time in the morning to this because I really wanted to understand not only what is my heart path in life, you know, what am I doing, why am I here, but also, you know, how might I do this with someone else instead of doing the whole thing alone, right? And so I had a lot of conversations with my heart in the morning. And, you know, and so that was not just the kind of waking up that I just talked about where it's just checking in with my heart now that I'm conscious. I'm not sleeping, but I'm conscious and kind of inviting that, inviting my conscious mind to stay there for a while. And so I would get up, I'd make a cup of tea, because I'm a shamanic practitioner, I would go first to my altar and, you know, call in the energies at my altar and then go into my Qigong practice. And that whole thing is this big, long conversation, actually, with my heart. Because all of those things are things that we do to cultivate an inner conversation other than the dominant one, which is us talking to our heads.
Mm. Okay, so you actually, this sounds like an hour or hour and a half of time talking to your heart.
Right, and so a lot of people don't necessarily have that time to commit initially, and that's why I just said, you know, everybody could spend 5 minutes cozy in bed doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do now, because I'm not single, is actually the first thing that I do in the morning is roll over to my sweetheart, and we just have this moment in the morning that is just about connecting in our hearts. Mm-hmm. We don't really say much. We just, and mostly we talk about what we might have dreamt last night.
Oh, that's very sweet.
And then we sit up in bed, wrap the covers around us, and then we set our intention. We have our 3 or 4 minutes of communicating with the big universe about our intention for our life, each of us individually. And so now we're each in our individual conversation with our heart. Mm-hmm. You know, that I give gratitude for my life, and I ask you to help me to live a life of an open heart. And then whatever the intention is of the kind of life my heart wants me to be living.
Mm. Okay, then, so how does the mind come into play? So, oh gosh, we have 2 more minutes, but I'm going to ask this in the next segment. But here's the dilemma, and then we'll talk about it in the next segment. The dilemma is the mind goes, wait, the kids have to get up by this time,
right,
and they need to be out the door, so you need to go down and get breakfast. And, you know, the mind is already planning, organizing.
Mm-hmm. Well, right, and that's why you have to steal that first 5 to 10 minutes.
Say that again. Sorry.
You just have to steal that very first waking up 5 to 10 minutes.
Ah, I see.
For you and your heart.
I see. So you wake up 5 or 10 minutes earlier than you normally would so that
exactly.
Your mind can be, like, calm down. and say, all right, okay, I'm going to think about this for 5 or 10 minutes. But then even when I do that, my mind is kind of kicking in like, really? Isn't it time yet? What time is it? Has it been 5 minutes?
Well, the mind's job is actually to help us to make sure we say that intention exactly the same way every day.
Okay.
So the mind has a task to do that really helps the heart, because the heart can be all over the place, right? And so the mind helps you find the right words and to say it again and again, so it becomes like a prayer or a blessing. And that's what helps intention really work, is that we don't say it differently every day. It's not a creative process. It's really
right. So you use your mind in the best way in which a mind can be used, which is to remember.
It's focus.
Love that. Okay.
Clarify.
So
we're
going to be back, and we're going to be talking about how, when you've listened to your heart, what are some of the things your heart actually wants? And we're talking about Christina Pratt, who actually has listened to your heart. So we're going what some hearts want. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. This is our final segment, and I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with CJ today, and our guest, Christina Pratt. She's a shamanic healer, and today we were talking about how to follow your heart, checking in with your heart, and kind of if you're arguing between your mind and your heart, how to follow your heart to make your decisions. You can go to fireitupwithcj.com, and there's an article called I Love My Heart, and that talks about Christina Pratt and what we're talking about today on the show. So we would love if you could go there and read the article while you're listening to the show, of course.
Yes. So hello, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and welcome to the Fire It Up with CJ show. And we are talking about what it means to have a healthy heart. And I'm not just talking about eating oatmeal and exercising. All those things are important. We should do those things if we want a happy, healthy heart. But I'm talking at a different and a spiritual level what it means to have a happy heart. And we have Christina Pratt, who has long periods with her heart that are quite lovely. And she's been contemplating this and learning about the heart and the mysteries of the heart and what the heart wants. So welcome, Christina.
Thank you, CJ.
So if we were to dedicate 20 years of our life towards talking to the heart, what would he then learn about? What are the things that the heart wants?
Well, you know, the thing is, I didn't really know I was doing that. That's what's so interesting. But I feel like when we dedicate our life to why we think we're here, to the best of our ability, we learn it kind of backwards, you know. So I ended up in shamanic, first I was dancing, and then in shamanic work, and each of those things taught me something about the heart. And so, you know, dancing really taught me about the kind of courage and discipline it takes to do something that maybe doesn't really give you back a lot of what the contemporary world thinks you need, but if that's what you love, that you do it anyway. And, you know, that was hard, but it was good for my heart because it was the last thing that I'd known from my childhood that really brought me joy. And one of the things about having a healthy heart is, you know, you need to feed it. And like you said, not the oatmeal. The oatmeal's for the physical heart, you know. But
right.
you need to do things in life that bring you joy.
And for you, that was dancing.
About what they are.
Yeah, so for you that was dancing. So for dancing, that fed your heart joy, even though it took a lot of courage because it may have not been, you know, the typical thing that people do, and it didn't give back maybe financially. I don't know if that's what you're referring to, financially.
Yeah, and now I spend money to get a subscription to the dance series that happens here in Portland so that I continue to go, because if I don't get the series, I don't go. You know, so I just make sure that dance is always in my life in some way. And so over time, it can change, but it's really important to do the things in life that bring you joy. I happen to love swimming. I actually feel joy swimming, so that's what I do when I work out. I mean, it's very practically woven into my life, but I really try to minimize doing things in my life I don't feel joyful about.
Mm-hmm. And I think actually one of the things that's interesting about the things that you've done is that, you know, part of it is like, okay, I'm going to sign up for this dance series, which means that I can guarantee once a month that I'm going to be feeding my heart. You know, just like you eat oatmeal a certain number of times during the week, it's kind of a ritualistic thing, right, to do that. And I don't think we do that very often, you know. So how does swimming work for you? So you love swimming. What do you do to then feed your heart?
Well, the thing that, well, what I love about swimming, actually, other than being in the water, which is sort of like pretending you're a dolphin for an hour, is it's a time of, you know, again, it's another time where I can be in that kind of internal conversation more with my heart and not so much planning my day and what, you know, do we need to go to the grocery store? And, you know, I'd stay out of that kind of list-making thinking of the day and actually thinking about the things that are perhaps troubling my heart and allowing the heart to share possible solutions. You know, my mind has got me set up in some sort of situation which is troubling my heart, so I get to listen to my heart during that time. Why are you troubled? You know, how could this be different? The heart just looks at things very differently than the mind. They're two very wise parts of who we are, and the mind just happens to think the heart's wisdom is confusing, and the heart finds the mind's wisdom boring. You know,
Right.
We have to learn to listen to both.
Right.
But
so
the thing about listening to your heart is what it begins to develop, and I think this is why people panic about it, is you have to start to develop at least an intimate relationship with yourself. And we're a little skittish around intimacy as a culture. But you really have to develop an intimate relationship with your heart. What does it want? What brings you joy? What makes you laugh out loud? You know, go to those movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really that hard, but you need to know your own heart. So you need to know what are the things that do bring you joy. What are the things that make you laugh? What are the things that activities that nourish your heart? And make sure that you make time in your life to do those things.
Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of
heart brings people into your life because you're expressing that kind of energy. It brings people into your life who are also connected to their hearts. And then everybody has more fun.
Mm-hmm. And I think though that at least when I was in that place where it was purely in my mind, and I'm still there a large portion of my day, honestly, but I think it's hard to know, it's hard to make the time to listen, but I'm hearing, you're like, take 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be, you know, an hour going through a practice. And I think it's also, I think when you feed your heart, what happens is you feed your heart and it's just grateful. It's like, it's kind of the nourishment that it needs to kind of stick around because you've been ignoring it for so long. But I love the idea of feeding and listening to your heart. I think we have one more minute. I can't even read the timer. So we have two more minutes. Any other tips in terms of feeding, listening to your heart? What else?
Well, I think back to your question about how do you know the difference between the mind and the heart. The way I think about it internally is that they have two different voices. It's like knowing the difference between like your mother and your father. It's like you just recognize their different voices. And the mind will try to imitate the heart. Take over again. But you learn that there's a falseness in that. And and by doing your little 3 minutes in the morning talking to your heart, you learn its voice. And you learn to know that, sense the truth when it's talking to you. And then you can sense when you're tricking yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you never talk to your heart, you're just never going to know.
Yeah. No, actually, when I listen to my heart, it literally sounds different.
Exactly.
Like the word choices, what it says, or sometimes unexpected, I'm like, what? Or, what? You know, it's this feeling like this couldn't come to my mind because I don't think I would have thought this otherwise. So it does have kind of different word choices, my heart sounds more poetic than my rational mind. So it has a different kind of cadence and feeling and altogether different kind of vocal expression. So I think that's true. I think the hardest part is even believing that it's there, because so many people feel like if I talk to my heart, I don't even think it's there. But it is there, but you have to take the time to listen to it and the patience to just wait for the answer.
Or they think it's irrational.
Yeah.
But it's not the heart's job to be rational the way the mind is. It's the mind's job. And really when they're working well together, you get kind of a more potentially poetic answer. And it's the mind's job to help you figure out, now, how would I do that practically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the, and I love how you're, in this segment on loss, it's like, give your mind a task to do. Give it what it's best at doing, which is like, now make rational sense out of this and figure out what we're going to do.
It actually loves solving problems, and doing what the heart wants practically in a grounded, realistic way is a great problem to give to the mind to do.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And then they're working together.
Yes, love it. I love it, the a partnership between the mind and the heart. That's, I think, the trick, which we have to learn, but it's wonderful. So we have to go. Oh, it's so wonderful talking to you, Christine. I always love the practical advice that you give, and all these tips are wonderful. So I encourage everyone to listen to them again because they're fantastic. And thank you so much for being here. And next week we have best-selling author Gary Renard on forgiveness. Have a great weekend, everyone.